good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But that one said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my house." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of Christ. A prayer for freedom. Lord God Almighty, in whose name the founders of this country won liberty for themselves and for us, and lit the torch of freedom for nations then unborn, grant that we and all the people of this land may have grace to maintain our liberties in righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Many of you have seen this report that was making its way around the internets lately. It was the story of a large store of food that had been just parked in big trucks, waiting to be taken into a war zone. And of course, it had been sitting there for so long that much of it had gone bad. Well, some of the people that were responsible for the food in those trucks saw a little boy, probably about 9 years old, emaciated, breaking into the truck about once a week, and coming out with his arms as full as he could carry them, and would disappear. Well, of course, there was outrage and disgust that someone would steal this food that was going bad. But they watched it, and about once a week, this kid would come back, and still looking as gaunt as ever, would break in, steal as much as he could carry, and walk out and not be caught. One smart person decided, well, let's put a tail on him. Let's follow him, see where he goes, and see if he's selling this food to the enemy. So they did. The next week, the little boy came in and broke into the truck, got an armload of food, ran off, and was followed by one of these people. When they found the little boy, they found him in a bombed-out home in which no one else lived. They discovered that he was all alone. He was seen eating just small portions of the food that had been stolen. But he also had a dog sharing that food that was so precious to him with that malnourished dog. Made him feel better, he later said. And that food kept them alive. Allegedly, the people responsible for the food let it go and let him continue to steal the food as long as he needed it. In this story, we hear about a boy stealing, bad boy. We hear him carrying away from the trucks all the food that he could carry. What a bad, bad boy. But then he shared it with his dog. Who's a good boy now? There's something upside down about that story. Something that perhaps we didn't expect, or something that redeems it in the hearing. Jesus talks to us about a world that is upside down. The world is not as we perceive it to be. It is not full of random facts, conspiracies, ideas. But Jesus says it's all upside down. And anytime we look and we find comfort knowing, aha, now I understand, or aha, now I can judge, we'll be in the wrong. This upside down world of Jesus starts with things like the first shall be last. The poor are the rich, and the rich are the poor. Captives are set free. Our strength is in our weakness and in our surrender. It is the dead who find everlasting life. And there is no life in you unless you are born again. In Paul's letter to the church in Galatia this morning, we hear Paul saying over and over, you are free. What good news that means to us. But it is very complex news. It does not rest on its own. You are free. Through the death of Jesus, you are no longer bound by law. We interpret that to mean that through the death of Jesus, we have a way to freedom. A way that is free. We are free from everything that kept us grounded in sin. The laws of custom and laws of the state, we are free from it. You are free and no longer bound by the law. You are free to engage in, and Paul says this, if you want, you are free to engage in fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, cowardice, carousing, and things like this. And what will we do on Monday? Go ahead, Paul says. You are free to do any of these things. Talk about your upside-down world. We have our sins forgiven, and we can live in freedom and just go on sinning. Sounds like a good deal. However, Paul says, watch out. With freedom comes choice. We can choose to live in the freedom of Christ, or We can choose to return to a life of slavery by becoming a slave to self-indulgence. So the freedom into which we are born is not the slavery to self-indulgence. Instead, Paul says, become slaves to one another. Not to law, not to worship, not to factions, not to anything, but to be slaves to one another. Does he mean that? What, we are free and are supposed to become slaves again? Yes, Paul says, to neighbor. Neighbor-centered freedom is not self-directed, but reaches towards others, with others. To choose to bind our lives to the lives of our neighbors fosters freedom for everyone, especially for ourselves. The old law is now the new law. Love one another. And we will find ourselves bathed in the Spirit of God, living. And these are Paul's words again. When we make this choice, we will live in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know which list sounds better, but I know which one is better for us all. Living in freedom also requires something more from us. If someone told us the story of that little waif whose life was threatened by war and starvation, but they only told part of the story to us, we might wrongly conclude that this kid was just a common thief, a criminal. When we hear of people being taken off the streets in an immigration sweep, we might conclude that they were all here illegally and needed to be deported. When we hear of legislation that reduces expenditures by eliminating medical care for some, we might think that those who don't deserve the care will be skimmed off the top. Living in freedom means active discernment. This means that we have a responsibility to find out, to discern, if what people are telling us is good for our neighbors, is factually good, or harming them. Is what we're being told the truth, or is someone being cast in the worst possible light to persuade us? This means that we cannot outsource our discernment. As followers of Christ, we are also bound to truth, which means we must pursue truth, discern it, and to speak it. Not relying on one slanted news source or the other to give us their version of the truth, but having an open heart and mind, pursuing the avenues of truth until you are convinced that you have a grasp of the facts. This week, we celebrate America's commitment to freedom. And while to live in freedom as Americans is a great gift, with freedom must come justice. To live in freedom as followers of Christ is to live for a kingdom that is upside down. Because we are born for freedom that doesn't appear like freedom at all. Freedom in the kingdom is a freedom that enslaves us to justice. A freedom that ties us to the community of human beings, all human beings. Freedom in the kingdom is a freedom that binds us in love. It's a freedom that is most needed in this country right now. In the name of God, amen.